You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
Time for episode 432 of Geekiest Show Ever. How's it going?
It's going. I don't know where, but it's going.
It's been a while.
Someplace in a handbasket.
Yeah. It's been a while since between me going on vacation and then you had the kids home for school vacation.
Something like that. I don't know. I've lost track. I've just been working. Busy. Yeah. Can't say no to anything anymore. So not that I could, but now I definitely can't say no to anything. So I got to take it all in.
The good thing, though, is it's sometimes nice to be busy, but at the same time, you need a break.
Yeah, need a break. Today's my break, so.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
So, on this episode, I'm calling this episode Rant and Review, because you know how normally I say that, you know, you've got some things you want to talk about, and I just say, okay, Melissa, talk away. I'm just going to sit back and relax. We're going to switch it this week. You're going to sit back and relax, and I'm going to rant, and I'm going to review.
Sounds good.
Okay, so for the rant, have I ever said to you that I hate messages?
Yes, many, many times. I think you've said it. I think you've texted it.
God, they just don't sync. They're making me crazy. I went on a cruise. My husband and I went on a cruise a couple weeks ago, and I was texting you, you and Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think it was from my computer. And, you know, we were going back and forth on a couple of things when I got home. And then I went and I picked up my iPad and I just said, oh, my God, our conversation did not sync. It picked up from where I texted you at that moment. And it's still not there.
Really?
Those couple of, you know, texts that we went back and forth, it's not there. It just doesn't sync. So what I did is I said, okay, messages is taking up way too much space in iCloud and on my computer because it just the way it backs everything up. I said, all right, I'm going to change my settings to keep for 1 year rather than forever. Mm-hmm. So I plug in my hard drive and I open up iMazing and I back up my phone. And then once that was backed up, I exported my messages, which took 700 megabytes. Oh. It was a big file. So I exported all the messages. And then I said, okay, got that done. Went on my computer. No, I'm sorry. I went on my phone. And I changed the setting to keep for 1 year. And it said, you sure you want to do this? I said, yes, I am. And all those messages disappear. And I only have 1 year back. Mm-hmm. Look on my phone, on my iPad. It's still showing all the way back to about 2022. I said, well, maybe it just needs, and I look on my computer, it's still showing the old phone. I said, okay, maybe it just needs some time to sync. I'll let it go. Check the iPad the next day. Perfect. It's 1 year. Looking at my computer, and I'm opening messages now, and it goes back to 2023. Even though it does show keep for 1 year. So I have to physically go in and delete all those messages.
Wow.
I mean, not that that's going to be hard to do, but it's so annoying.
Yeah. Are you able to just like shift click and then select them?
Yeah, I can do that. That means so like the time it takes to do it is not a big deal, but that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is I changed it to 1 year and it said, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yes, even on my computer.
Yeah.
I clicked it again.
It
said, you sure you want to do this? I said, yes, I am. And it says, okay, syncing with iCloud. And nothing
It just
happens.
Ignored you.
Nothing happens. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'll get a message on my phone and delete it, you know, or read it, whichever the case may be. And I look at my computer and there's that little flag saying one. And I open and it shows that I didn't read the message. Like, yeah, I did. Like, oh. And the other thing I found with messages. Okay, so you know how if I click on you. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me get to the top here.
Have you ever tried signing out of iCloud and signing back in on all three of them?
I have, but I know that always makes me nervous.
Yeah.
All right. So you know how if you click on the people that you're talking with and it will say photos, screenshots, links,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. I have gone in painstakingly and deleted photos from an account.
Mm-hmm.
Except they're still within the text.
Really?
Huh. So say you send me a picture of your Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's December and you send me a picture of your Christmas tree and I go, oh, that's pretty. And then I go back in, not to the text itself, but where your name is and shows all the photos you sent me. Uh-huh. And I delete the picture of that Christmas tree and it disappears. And I go back into the text. There's that Christmas tree sitting in the thread.
I wonder, is it because I don't delete mine?
I always wondered about that, but...
Yeah. Because that's
the other thing that I can't stand either. So let's say you are in a group text because you're all soccer moms. Okay. So you're all soccer moms. You know, all your boys play soccer, and you change it to soccer moms, so you can see the name of the thread.
Right.
And then I come along and I'm like, well, I don't want to be called a soccer mom. I change it to soccer team.
Uh-huh.
It changes the name for everybody.
Yeah.
Why can't I change it to soccer team?
Right.
You leave it to soccer mom. Someone mm-hmm. else might call it the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else might call it the boys. You know,
mm-hmm.
why can't we just name mm-hmm. it what we want to name it without, and then maybe mm-hmm. there's a checkbox, change for everybody or change just for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I would like that. I would like some kind of granular control because, like, say you're on a. I know my dad gets confused about this. Like, he has a volleyball group, and it gets really confusing because, you know, it's a mixture of people on Android and iPhones, and that will happen. Someone will say, "Well, I don't want to be in this group anymore. Will you remove me?" And then I guess they don't know how to do it any other way, so they'll just start a whole new group. Minus that person or, you know, two or three mm-hmm. people that said that they, yeah. you know, they just didn't, they're traveling or whatever, and they're not going to join this season. So they just don't want to be in that group or whatever. They don't know how to mute.
I was going to say they can mute them.
Yeah, they could, but people don't know how to do that. So they yeah. just want to be removed. And, you know, people have their reasons for wanting to be removed. I know, like on Facebook and in Messenger, that would always tick me off when I'd be like added to a group when I didn't ask to be. And then I get all these notices and or it's like a scammer. Like, I'm leaving this group. But you have the option to leave yourself. And I believe you can just do that in messages as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can leave a group.
But I guess people just don't know how. So I guess it's just as a courtesy. The group facilitator, I guess, just creates a whole new group. Well, then that gets really confusing for other people, you know, or somebody like my dad who doesn't quite understand groups yet. Like he has a better grasp of it now, but that could be one reason why you might want to change the title of a group. If you'd say, okay, well, this is okay, I'm going to change this group to volleyball group one, and I'm going to create a new group that's minus these people now. Okay, everybody delete the first group. This is going to be called volleyball group two. Maybe, you know, and maybe that's the reasoning for why everybody has to have the same group name, because otherwise it would be really confusing if one person named it, you know, Joe and the Volleyballers or something, and the other person was Volleyball Too, and another person was like, you know, the name of the location, you know, Sandy Beach or whatever. Then there would be no consistency, and then how are people going to communicate about, well, didn't you see the message in the group, blah, 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 like, oh, no, because they don't call it that. So then they get confused. So it could be that's the reason for, but like, I like your idea of like, well, let's give people a checkbox. But there again, if people don't even understand how to leave a group on their own, then it's kind of hard to expect them to go in there and look at the details about changing a group or, you know, being able to customize it. So people just don't even mention
to them pinned.
Yeah.
Pin right. chats. We're like, you could right. put these up at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many features that people don't understand that their devices do, because there's just, it's overwhelming. There's just too many things. How are you ever going to figure it out? You and I have been doing this stuff for years, so we know it's there, but you know, people just don't know what they don't know. They don't know to look. They don't know where to look.
I think on messages on the computer, your graphics, your pictures, your links, things like that, are housed in a few different places. Because when I look in iCloud, it might say, you have 3 gigs worth of messages. I'm like, oh my God, that's way too much. But when I do OmniDisk Sweeper, which is what'll tell me where everything is, it showed I had 7 gigs, but that was like library, you know, it was like deep. So I'm going through and I'm like, delete, all these big pictures and videos that I've sent. And that's why I think maybe when I'm deleting a picture under your name, it still shows up in the thread. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, for deleting those pictures, one at a time.
Oh,
you
really?
You can choose 12 different pictures at a time. And when I hit delete, one deletes.
So
I'm just like, oh, I can't take it.
So this is interesting. So if I go, for example, so if I'm thinking about how you're like, okay, well, I need to clear this out. So let's just say, for example, you wanted to clear everything out and start fresh. Like, just say between you and me, our conversation on your end of things, you've gone through and just deleted our whole thread. And because we had a whole, because we share stuff back and forth all the time. Let's say you just deleted the whole thread and then you texted me and you're like, hey, I just deleted the whole thread and you started a new one. So then you're, you, I would think that your conversation would just have that one message in it. But for example, if you were doing that, but when I go and I click the information on your name in our conversation, I still see collaboration, you know, because we've tinkered around with Pages documents. I still see photos. I can click show more or show less, and I can see photos, screenshots, you know, because we've shared a lot of stuff over the years, and I still see them all, even though you're the one that has shared them with me. So even though you're deleting them, I still have a copy on my end. So they don't get expunged from my record.
Right, which is as it should be.
Yeah. But I wonder if maybe that's why then when I text you back and then you click the sync button, is that why they may come? Do they come back? Is that why you can never really truly get rid of them?
I have found that if I, for example, if my doctor sends me a text saying, you know, click yes to confirm your appointment on such and such a date. And I click yes and they say, thank you, we'll see you on blah, blah, blah. And then I delete that thread.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time I go to the doctor, that whole thread comes back.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Right. So I'm wondering where does that retention happen? And like, for example, what would happen if we picked something as a test? Like if I went through the history, you told me, okay, I deleted this picture that I sent you of, I don't know, it was a screenshot about, we were having a discussion about 1Password or something. And it, you know, we shared a screenshot of an article and you and I said, okay, let's both delete that screenshot. I wonder if that would make it stay gone. I don't know. It's just a theory. I just wonder.
Because I have thought about that, but my way of thinking is if I delete something, it wouldn't delete for you. It would delete for me.
Yeah.
So that picture that you sent me of the Christmas tree that I deleted is still on your end.
Right.
You know, so you might be able to go, like if I said, I'm going to delete everything before February 1st, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So the only conversation that I can see on my end between you and me is February 1st forward.
Right.
But you should be able to go back to October and say, look, this is what you sent me about 1Password on October 12th. I just don't have it.
Right. And I save my messages for that very reason, because of, you know, conversations with clients when they ask me for help about something. Like just the other day, someone asked me about, I had sent them a reference for a printing company and they said, what was the name of that reference? And, you know, all I had to do was go do a search for it and I could find the message that I sent a couple weeks ago and copy it, paste it, you know, here it is. And that's why I save that stuff, because I don't want to have to go digging again and reinvent the wheel. I've already had it in there.
Well, that's why I exported as a PDF my messages. Yeah. I went through and I deleted the ones that were unnecessary.
Yes.
You know, things like, let's meet for lunch tomorrow at 12. Okay. And that was the entire thread. Like, I don't need this. You know, this was from 2022. I don't need this. Right. Delete, delete, delete. And the ones that I still have from 2023 are more for sentimental reasons, but they serve no purpose other than I look at them and go, aw, and that's it.
Yeah, but you don't need to keep them on your phone necessarily, but having a PDF of it. Right.
Exactly. So if I ever want to get sentimental, I can always open up that PDF and go, aw, and then put it away again. Yeah. You know? And I'm thinking, this is something I need to do once a year, is just export the messages and get them off my computer.
But we should clarify, the only way to do that, though, is with iAmazing. I mean, that's the only tool that I know that does it. Well, there was another tool that I had used years ago, but I haven't used it in a while since iAmazing updated and I upgraded to them. I think it might have been called Phone View. But anyway, the point is that I don't think there's a way, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see it. I don't see that there's a way to, well, you know what? Let me see now, because I've since upgraded to Sonoma. Why don't you look too? So Open Messages, you're on Sonoma. I'm on Sequoia.
Right.
So if I go to, I can take our conversation and open it in a new window. Are you able to do that?
Let me get back up. They added
it. Oh, you don't have to use iAmazing to do this anymore. This is new. I haven't.
Okay.
Brand new. Okay. All right. So you're in Sonoma. So click on I have you in my pinned contact. So I just click on your avatar. And then I went up to the messages menu and I chose file, open conversation in new window.
Yep. I've got you in a new window.
Okay. So now our conversation's in a new window. And then I went back up to file and I chose print.
No. Oh, yes. Yes.
So I could I could save our whole conversation as a PDF.
Now mine right now.
There's only 7 pages.
Yeah. Mine says 9. I have 9 pages.
Well, it probably has to do with like my text size and things like that.
But actually, oh, you know what it is though? You need to, wait a minute, where is this?
I have it in portrait. I have it in
letter
size.
That's not right. 9 is not right.
Yeah, because I have 7 pages.
Well, no, even that's not right. Let me change this to, let me change this to...
I'm interested. I wonder how far back this goes, because now I'm going to say open in preview.
I said open in PDF and now it's...
Oh, this only goes back to February 8th, though.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. So, I guess you still do need iMessage iMessage, so many I's. iAmazing, you can specify a date range. I didn't see an option to do that. So why is it just picking...
Yeah.
Oh, it's only doing like 30 days worth, I guess, probably the last 30 days.
And on iAmazing, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because when I clicked on messages and said PDF, it only did the top one. You have to select all of
them. Yes, right.
And then send out PDF. Then it was like 149 pages.
Let me see. Is the first day of February that you texted me, was it February 8th? Let me look and see. Right. Because I think you were away and that's why we didn't talk for a while.
Yeah, we left on the 8th. Okay, I think I just...
No, because there's one from... Well, I texted you... because we go back to... My messages with you go back to February 1st. So why did it pick February 8th?
Now it's going 21 pages.
I'm curious as to why... Why does it pick that special date? Why did it pick the 8th when we have messages on the 1st? If I open up our conversation in a new window, I see. I have to scroll and let it load.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Oh,
okay. So I have to keep scrolling.
Because mine goes back for you through January 8th. That's where it starts.
Well, because of the time that you erased?
No, because that's how far back I scrolled.
okay, well, I'm just going to keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and I could do this probably for hours because, yeah, because I save everything. But, yeah, so when I drag my scroll bar to the top of the window, then I get that little circular, and it goes faster and faster. I get that little circular flower petal symbol that lets me know that it's processing, and it goes pretty mm-hmm. quick. And then it loads another, like, X amount of days. So, like, right now I'm looking at the picture of the quilt that you sent me. I don't know if it was a quilt or I think it was something that you crocheted with squares, color blocks in it, from October 6th. So okay. I'm going to leave it. Oh, okay, there. So this is where I sent you happy birthday, and you sent me screenshots of the balloons popping up on your watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I go from there and I go file print, let's see what happens now. That'll be interesting. I still like iMazings better because now I'm going to get the rainbow beach ball of death for like
yeah, ever. I did too, but it only lasts for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I scrolled back to October though. So we might be here for a while. Anyway.
But yeah, keep an eye on iMazing sales. I already had iMazing.
Oh yeah, I upgraded when you did, so I have the latest version.
Was it iMazing 2 and now it's 3, or was it 1 and now it's 2? I forget now exactly what it was.
I thought they're up to
But it was
three
what,
now.
$20? I think it was $20 yeah. to upgrade.
I got a really good deal on it. I got like 60% yeah. off or something. So
yeah, it was something like $20.
Yeah, iMazing's much better at this job. iMazing is a better tool for this task because if I recall, you can go into the calendar picker and actually choose a date if you just want to say, okay, just make me a PDF of this year or just these last 6 months. Or, you know, for example, if I'm trying to document a conversation that I had with somebody for, you know, particular record keeping or something. Well, I mean, for me, I do have clients where the way that they require support because they might be deaf, and that's our only way of communication, I have to be able to track my time. So I do have to go and export, okay, so for this day or for these series of days where I worked with this particular client, I have to go and export a PDF of that. And then I go and I look at the date stamps, and then that's how I have to try to figure out the time, you know, that we spent together so that I can bill for it. So I use mine's still spinning. So yeah, iMazing is a much better tool for this job. So yeah, not going to Sherlock that anytime soon. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, luckily I'm not having that problem right now, but I have seen it happen. And I've seen it happen with other people. I've helped out clients where their stuff wasn't syncing, and the solution has always been that there was one device that was making a kink in the chain, or there was like a weak link somewhere where one of the devices wasn't signed in properly, or it had a message on it or something, and it was holding the other devices up, and it either needed to be removed or disconnected from iCloud or something like that. But usually it's just a matter of making sure that everything is signed in and verified to the Apple account consistently. So it just sounds like somewhere along the line, something is not connected properly. Although I know you've been at this for years, and you've probably tried every which way.
It's probably the Mac. There's probably something in there.
Yeah, there's only one way to really do it, and it's just to sign out of iCloud for iMessages. Just turn. You don't have to sign out of iCloud completely, but you'll just have to just disable the switch on the devices and just sign out of Messages and FaceTime, and then systematically sign in one device at a time, starting with your iPhone and then your Mac and then your iPad and then your watch, you know, just the devices that you have. So something's still not connected properly. I mean, it could even be a watch that's not connected to Wi-Fi or something, but somewhere in the chain, there's not a connection being made. I still have the spinning beach ball. So, yeah. Well, going to have to ignore that now.
While you wait for that to finish, let's go to the review.
Yes, let's do
that. So I mentioned that I was on a cruise a couple weeks ago. And if anyone of our listeners has cruised before, you know how expensive Wi-Fi is to buy on the ship. It's ridiculous. You can spend hundreds of dollars. And even if you do what I would want to do if I was paying for it, it's still really expensive. One thing you can do is instead of getting Wi-Fi for you and Wi-Fi for your spouse, you get Wi-Fi for yourself and say you have two devices instead of one. And that way it's a little bit cheaper. Though I did notice the cruise that we're taking in September won't let me do that. I was checking out the pricing. We're doing a cruise out of Spain in September. So I said, let me see how much the Wi-Fi would cost. So it automatically comes up my name and Tom's name, and I delete Tom's name, and I say, just me, one device is all they will allow me to have. It would cost us for 9 days over $400.
Oh, my God. Wow. I said, well,
that's not going to happen.
That's insane.
That's just not going to happen. So for this last cruise that we took, I said, let me do some research and see what I can come up with. And I found that there is a service called GigSky, G-I-G-S-K-Y. And you can get data. It's not Wi-Fi. It's data on land and at sea. You can use it on a cruise ship. I said, okay, that's interesting. How do we do this? I watched a ton of YouTube videos of actual people who have used the service, and they all raved about it. I said, okay. It was going to cost me $35. And I said, fine, it's $35 for 7 days. Now, the way they do it is it's an eSIM. It's an eSIM that they put on your phone. If you go to these other companies that are just land-based, from the research that I've done, you don't pay for an amount. You just pay for a time. So you pay for 7 days. And you get all you can eat for 7 days or 15 days or three days, however it is that you want to pay for it.
That's this international pass does that. Yeah.
Yeah. With GigSky, you're paying for an amount of time. So for 7 days, it was 1 gig. For 15 days, it was 3 gigs. So if I really thought I needed 3 gigs, I would have to pay for 15 days access. Just basically meaning I have 15 days to use this up. So what I did is I had downloaded the app a while ago. And they have sales quite often, but not for the amount of gigs that I wanted. Not for the amount of time that I was going to be using it, which is fine. So you go to their website. It'll tell you there's popular countries, top regions, global plans, and cruises. So I click on cruises. And you choose, are you going to the Caribbean? Are you going to Europe? Are you going to Asia Pacific? Or are you doing the Middle East? So I picked on America, Caribbean. And it says you have data plans for your entire cruise. So you can use this plan while you're also in port. Now, I did not, because when we were in Cozumel, I knew we would have free Wi-Fi at the beach. So I used the free Wi-Fi at the beach to do what needed to be done. And then I used the data on the ship. So it gives you all the information. It gives you the pricing. Like right now, the pricing, 1 gig is $34.99. 3 gigs is $54.39 for 15 days. And then it goes to 5 gigs and 10 gigs up to 30 days. And you can also top off. So if you see that you're running out, you can just say, I need to top off. And then I didn't do that, so I don't know what the pricing is. But they give you so much more data for whatever the cost is. It covers 200 ships in 48 countries. So if you click on the little eye next to it, it'll tell you what the countries are to make sure that the country you're going to, if you want to use it in land, that country is covered. And then it also shows you what cruise ships, that the cruise lines, and then the ships within those lines that it works on. And it's pretty much everywhere. Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Princess, Celebrity, Virgin Voyages, they're pretty much all covered. So I did that. So the day that we got on the ship, I made the purchase, installed the eSIM, which they just basically say, click here, it installs. What you do is you make sure that when you're on a ship, once you leave, you automatically, well, you should be doing is put your phone in airplane mode, turn off cellular.
Now, did you have to wait until you got on the ship to do this?
No.
Or could you have done it before you left the house?
I could have bought it before I left the house, but waited until we got on the ship to activate it.
But then you're still having to use the ship's Wi-Fi or your...
Yeah, like, so you, So I'm using, now you're using, I know it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
When you take a cruise, you go on the ship Wi-Fi as a guest so that you can use the ship's app.
Okay.
It will only give you access to the app. It does not give you access to go to Facebook or check your email or something. It's just so you can use the ship's app because the ship's app is what tells you what's going on that day, what time the show is. If you want to do an excursion, if
it'd be like if you were connecting to a printer's Wi-Fi just to be able to print through that Wi-Fi connection, except you're connecting to the ship.
Yeah. And then if you want to pay, then you're not on the guest anymore. You're on the regular Wi-Fi.
Then they pass the internet through.
Yeah, and that way you can check your email, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So you're tapping into their intranet instead of the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So when I wanted to use that, one thing you have to do also is you cannot use this service when you're within about 10 to 12 miles of land. You have to be out at sea. So I said, okay, time to try this. And I struggled. I had a really hard time connecting at first. But once I finally connected, it got a little bit easier on the future days when I wanted to connect.
So back up a second. So you registered for the eSIM before you left, but then you activated it when you were on the ship.
No, I did not. I did not. Okay. Nope, I didn't do it until I got on. I could have, but I did not.
If you had to do it over again, what would you do differently?
I'd probably do the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Just wait till I get there.
Do it all and do it on there. So now, what were you connected to? How did you do this over the internet on your phone on the ship?
I'm just using regular data.
Oh, okay. So you're...
Because we hadn't left yet. We're on the ship. Oh, we hadn't left yet.
You still had a Spectrum data connection to the tower.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're using your Spectrum data plan connected to the tower. That's your internet connection. Okay.
And it does get a little tedious because what you need to do is, okay, I want to go check my email right now. So I have to turn off the Wi-Fi, turn off airplane mode.
Right.
Turn on Gig Sky for cellular.
Yeah. With the switches.
Wait for it to connect. Open up, wait till it says, okay, you're on. Open my email, wait for it to download or, go on Facebook or whatever it is I'm going to do. Do it quickly. Then reverse the process. Go back into settings. Yeah. Turn off Gig Sky. Turn on Wi-Fi. Turn on airplane mode. You want to make sure you are in airplane mode because even though I have roaming turned off on my phone, you don't want to take the chance that you come home and you've got this huge bill because you forgot to turn off the cellular for your home phone. I ended up using, I figured I have, might as well use it. I mean, I use it or lose it. It's not like it doesn't carry over to the next, if I had 300 megabytes left, it's not like, next time you go away, you'll still have this 300 megabytes. It's only good for the 7 days that I bought it for.
Yeah. So you had to use it then.
So if I bought, say, a month plan, a 30-day plan, and I knew the first week I was going on a cruise, I was going to be home the second week, and the third week I was going to be on the cruise, I could say, okay, I'll use half on my first cruise, turn it off, and then on my second cruise, I'll activate it again. And I'll have it. So would I do it again? Yeah. I think when we go, my plan as of right now is when we go to Spain, I'm going to buy the Gig Sky to use on the ship. And then I'm going to buy a different eSIM plan to use on land. I can. Yeah. Because I was at the Spectrum store this morning for another reason, and I mentioned that to them. They said they didn't know, the person I spoke to wasn't sure if I could have more than two eSIMs in my phone.
More than two, yeah.
So that's something I have to look into, because if I can't have more than two, I might have to do the Spectrum plan, which would be way more expensive, but still cheaper than using Wi-Fi on the ship. Because I need something when I'm in, when I'm in Spain and Portugal, I need to look at Google Translate. I need to look at maps. I need to do currency conversion. Email and stuff, that can wait. But there's certain things I need now.
Yeah, you definitely need GPS access and all that stuff. Yeah.
So I'm going to need to look into that. Now, one thing, because this is data, you cannot text when you're using GigSci.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so weird. I didn't understand that one.
Yeah, you cannot text because with texting, the way they explain it, you can't text over, you just can't text. And when I was trying to, I said, well, let me turn off messages. I couldn't turn messages back on.
Yeah, that's why things were weird.
Yeah, I couldn't turn messages back on until I got to Cozumel and got on the Wi-Fi. And then I was able to turn the messages back on, which is why I think I sent you a message, right? Through Facebook Messenger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you could use weird things were happening.
Yeah, you could use Facebook Messenger. Mm-hmm. You can use WhatsApp.
Oh.
But you couldn't use, and they specifically tell you, you cannot use messages.
Right, because that has to go through SMS. Which is interesting because iMessage would go through Wi-Fi. And why was that forbidden? Why would iMessage not work, I wonder? Because it I guess because it needs a tower. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works because if you have no cellular connection, I never tried that. I guess that would be an experiment. You'd have to disable your cellular switch and see if you could still text over Wi-Fi. I guess because it has to go through data.
But that's the thing. I'm using data. That's what I didn't really understand. But
yeah. I don't understand that either.
Yeah. I'm not that deep into the nitty gritty of how.
Yeah. Like why? I guess the question would be like, why would iMessage not work? Because I know it, you know, defaults to SMS provided that you have that switch turned on. And I can understand why they would say no SMS because that requires a cell tower to operate. So you would have to use WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger because those use data. But so does iMessage, I thought. Or maybe iMessage only relies on Wi-Fi. It could be.
No, because if you're out and about and you send someone a text, you're using data.
Well, yeah, but I know that, for example, there's been times where I've turned off Wi-Fi for some reason, and I got a message about like location and accuracy and things like that, and I think my messages would only go through as an SMS. So it's looking for other Wi-Fi connections somehow. It's like a peer-to-peer network or something like that. How does iMessage work? It's the second search result. Well, according to Apple, learn how iMessage works. Maybe because they can send it to your email address, because you can use either an email address or a phone number. Because you can use iMessage without a phone number. You can use it with just an email address.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you communicate, let's see, it says you can send, it says you can send texts over Wi-Fi or cellular service. Texts you send and receive using iMessage don't count against your SMS, MMS, or RCS allowances in your cellular messaging plan, but cellular data rates may apply. When you communicate with others who also use iMessage on an Apple device, the texts appear in blue bubbles. SMS, MMS, and RCS messages appear in green bubbles. Your messages will be sent with iMessage when you see a blue send button. A green send button indicates the message will be sent with SMS, MMS, and or RCS, or your cellular service. Let's see. It just talks about the features. Security, because of the end-to-end encryption. But WhatsApp is end-to-end encryption, so it's not that. I'm trying to learn about this contact key verification. I turned that on to monkey around with it. Well, there's an article here. What's the difference between iMessage, RCS, SMS, and MMS? Maybe the answer is in there. iMessages can be sent to another iPhone or another Apple device over Wi-Fi or cellular data networks. Let's see. Another thing about encryption. And then it talks about RCS. I'm not sure what RCS stands for. Do you happen to know?
Not offhand.
RCS is a carrier-provided service.
Rich Communication Services.
Hmm, that makes sense. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think Mint supports it yet. This doesn't really answer the question either. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder why. So, well, where did you find out that iMessage wouldn't work in this process?
When I tried to use it.
Okay. And it didn't work how? Like, did it just say not delivered?
Oh, I don't remember, to tell you the truth.
You just knew it wouldn't work, but yeah. I'm just wondering how it didn't work. Like, because either it gave you the little red exclamation point.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. That I think I tried to send. I knew it wouldn't send a picture. I think I was sending a message, though. I have no idea what I was trying to send.
And that was when you had all the switches in the correct order that you would be able to use it, but then it just didn't work. So then you just defaulted to, like, okay, well, I can't send through iMessage, because you knew you couldn't send through SMS, but then you tried to do it with messages, iPhone messages anyway, to send to us, because we're on iPhones and we should have been able to receive an iMessage, but that didn't work. But we just don't know what exactly didn't work. We don't know what made it fail. And in what condition were your settings at the time when it failed?
Where it should have been. Airplane mode was
off.
Wi-Fi was off. Airplane mode is off.
Okay, well then that's...
Wi-Fi is on. Or no, I'm sorry. Wi-Fi is off. Airplane mode is off. Cellular is on.
Interesting. Okay.
Trying to...
Yeah. So, I would think that if it was on cellular, like I said, it should have gone through, but there have been times, like, I'll have to test that out because, well, I could do it with my phone at least. If I sent on our phones, if I turned, because we're talking over Skype, if I turned my phone Wi-Fi off, and if now I'm just on 5G, so if I try to send you a text message on messages, so I'm just going to say test. Oh, that's interesting. I thought I sent this to you over Skype when I sent you that.
Okay, I just did a search because I know I had seen something and it must have been one of the reviews that I was watching on YouTube. I just typed in, why can't I send a text message on messages with GigSci? It says it's data-only service. It does not support SMS or traditional voice calls because you can't make a phone call either. Why can't I send...
But no, why wouldn't iMessage be considered data only?
Now somebody else write, yes, you can, provided you are using an app such as iMessage, FaceTime, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, or Skype. All right, that's conflicting.
Yeah, because it still says, even though I have Wi-Fi disabled on my iPhone, and it just says 5G, it still says iMessage. And it went through, and I see that you read it.
Yeah.
So it worked with Wi-Fi turned off.
Oh, you know why? Here it is. Okay, I just found it. You cannot...
My cellular data is...
Oh, you know what the thing is? I think I'm seeing what the problem is. Okay, I have iMessage set as my phone number. If I had set it as my email, it might have gone through.
Really?
It says, can I... Because I'm on GigSci's website now. It says, can I talk and text with GigSci service? Yes, you can. Provided you are using an app such as iMessage, FaceTime, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, or Skype. GigSci service is data only and does not come with a telephone number. Oh. So you won't be able to use our service for regular voice or SMS.
Hmm. So it could have worked.
So what I would have had to have done is change it from my phone number, iMessage from my phone number to my email.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Well, I guess you're just going to have to go on another cruise.
But the pain with that is it means it would start a brand new thread. So if I had sent something to you,
not necessarily.
I have found that with other people.
Oh.
Like I would get another message. I would get another, like, why am I getting another thread?
Yeah.
And then you look and you see where they sent it from. Like, this one they sent from their phone, but this one they sent from their email address.
Well, that happens if the email address and phone are not registered on the same Apple account. Because when I do that, I've done that with people too, and it links it back up again. Like, at first it comes through as a separate message, but then it unites it again once messages figures out, oh, wait, this is the same person. These two things are connected to the same Apple account. But if the person's using a different, like if they texted you from a phone number the first time and then they sent you an iMessage from an email address, but that email address is not one of their, Apple phrases it as can be reachable by. If it's not in their reachable by list, then it's going to be on a separate thread. So it's very specific to that person's Apple account. Can't say ID anymore. Their Apple account configuration. And you're at the mercy of however they have that set up. You can't control for that. But if it is set up correctly on their Apple account, then it will link back up. It will put the thread back together. Because I just did that with a client recently where we were testing some stuff out with her account. And when I sent her a text message to her phone number one time, you know, it started a new thread. And then I sent her a message to her email address and it started a different thread. And then the very next message that I sent, it unified them and put it back on one thread together. But that's because I actually helped her with her Apple account and made sure that everything was all set up properly. So now I just have that one message thread between the two of them. And I think I'm going to look through and see. If I scroll back through our message, I might be able to see where it was separated. Sometimes it'll show you, like with the time and date stamp, sometimes it will show you where you started texting to the phone number versus the email address. But I don't see it. I only see the date. So that might be different in this version now. I kind of missed that feature because that would have been nice to see. Because I know that I did this with this one particular person just the other day. And I don't see like where it switched it up. Because I did that with somebody that I had just met. We were talking about it, how they said that they didn't have their phone number attached to their Apple account. And so they gave me their email address instead. And then I thought, oh, well, I'm going to text for my email address instead too. Because at the time, I didn't really want to give out my phone number. And then, so I switched it in iMessage in the settings. I switched it to go out from my email address where it says start new conversations from. And I changed it to the email address that I had given this person. But then I went to switch it back because I didn't. Then I texted somebody else and it was still using that different email address. And I didn't want to use that email address with everybody else. So very twisted web I weave. But it was in the name of experimenting anyway. And so then when I went to text the person again, the next message that I sent them, they got it on the same thread, but this time it came from my phone number. And so the person texted me back and said, hey, I just want to make sure I got a message from you, but it came from this phone number. Is this your phone number? You know, I just want to make sure it's you. And I said, yeah, that's me. And so, yeah. So if you switch it, then it's going to reveal that. So words of the wise, if that's what you're trying to do, you got to understand what's going to be revealed when you go to change those switches. But it sounds to me like, yeah, that would have been a way to get around it by not using a telephone number, using an email address instead. So that would be an interesting thing to try. Yeah. So would that have what would that have changed for you that would have saved you any money in the process? Or
what do you mean?
If you would have been able, well, you wouldn't have had to use, you would have been able to just keep texting us. If you would have switched it to your email address instead of the phone number, you wouldn't have had to text us through Facebook Messenger.
It would have made a difference because I still would have had to go through GigSky to do it.
Yeah. Okay. You still needed the data plan to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But for example, like one of the people in the group, it doesn't have a Facebook account or doesn't use Facebook, so
right.
They wouldn't get the messages.
Right.
And I don't even think they use WhatsApp either. Right. Come to think of it, but yeah. So yeah, then you can't communicate with that group if it's only on iMessage.
Yeah. So I've got some stuff to look into between now and when I go to Spain. So if I guess now's a before we wrap up, I'll say that if you are interested in reading a little bit more of my experience with GigSky, I did write an article from mymac.com, which will be linked in the show notes. But if Melissa, let people know how they can reach us. If anyone has any good ideas, good suggestions about what service I could use in Europe that for eSIMs in the Spain, Portugal area that they've had success with.
And this is on land or on a cruise?
This would be on land. I'll use GigSky again for the ship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I'll get a separate plan to use on land, assuming I can use mm-hmm. 3 eSIMs in my phone, which I'll have to call Spectrum and find out if I can.
Right. Yeah, that would be the first thing that I would do. We don't have time to do it now, but I that's what I'm going to do when I'm done is find out how many eSIMs can you have or can you swap them in and out if you only have room for 2 or what's the limit on that? Anyway, if anybody knows, you could email us podcast@geekiestshowever.com. That's where you can send your questions and comments. Hey, and if you send us some audio, we will consider dropping it into the next show. You can also follow us on the social networks using @geekiestshow with your feedback. You want to tell them where exactly they can do that?
They can do that on Blue Sky @geekiestshowever.bsky.social. On Mastodon, it would be @geekiestshowever@techhub.social. If you want to get a hold of me, I am on Mastodon barely, but it would be @senseidai. And Blue Sky, I am @senseidai.bsky.social. And for Melissa, just go to themacmoney.com. MacMommy.com to find all things Melissa.
That's me.
Once again, I want to thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a few weeks. And until then, please stay safe.